1 Corinthians 15. I am quite excited to teach through this chapter of the Bible. We've been in 1 Corinthians for a long time. 1 Corinthians is 16 chapters, so we're almost at the end. When we get to chapter 16, we're probably going to get through it pretty quick because it's mostly some final comments that Paul has to make, his travel plans, and sends greetings to some people. But chapter 15 that we are entering today is probably going to take us a while. We may be here for the rest of the summer. I'm serious. For two reasons. Number one, it's one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. It's 58 verses. I think it's the third longest chapter in the New Testament. I may be wrong about that. But most importantly, it's not the size of it. It's how rich and deep and how very... It is extremely theological. All right, so we're going to take our time to study it. I'll read the first 8 verses just to get a little bit of context, but we're only going to basically be looking at the first 2. And I'm going to give you an introduction to the chapter, what the chapter is all about, because it's a new section now in 1 Corinthians. So we'll read the first 8 verses just to get us started. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." We'll stop right there. Some chapters in the Bible stand out. Some chapters in the Bible are considered some of the greatest things that have ever been written. I think of chapters like Romans 8, where Paul speaks of the blessings of the fact, you know, the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think of Ephesians 1, where Paul praises the triune God. He praises Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for their work in salvation. Or John chapter 3, where Jesus speaks of the new birth. And there's other great chapters that people think about. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and so forth. But another chapter that is way up there. I mean, this is a chapter that we need to have at the top of the list, is 1 Corinthians 15. Because it gives us the most in-depth teaching on our future hope, of bodily resurrection. Paul is going to speak in this chapter all about how, in the end, on the last day, like Christ who has risen, all who are in him shall be risen from the dead. He will speak of our bodies being sown, like throwing seed into the ground, will be sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. He says, sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. That's what this chapter is about. Now, as we've been studying 1 Corinthians, we have seen a church that is full of problems, huge problems, and Paul has written this letter to correct them or rebuke them. In the first 6 chapters, he is writing to them about things that he's heard about them. They haven't told him. He's heard about them. He writes and he says, "I've heard this about you. There's divisions among you. I've heard all kinds of inappropriate behavior." Then he gets to chapter 7 and on, and he talks about things that they wrote him about. Apparently they wrote him a letter, and they said, we have questions about a number of things, and he says, okay, concerning this, and he starts talking about different topics. Okay, you wrote about marriage, let's talk about that. You wrote about spiritual gifts, let's talk about that. You wrote about eating food that has been sacrificed to idols, what do we do there? Let's talk about that. So we've looked at a number of topics as we've been going through 1 Corinthians. But now we reach chapter 15, where we are introduced to the final issue, the final topic of the book, which he may have left it to the end because it's the most important. And we can see what the problem was in Corinth. Again, here we don't read that they told him about this. It seems like it's something that he heard about them. Go to the middle of verse 12. Not the beginning of verse 12, the middle of verse 12. Here's the problem. He says, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay? That is what causes him to write this chapter. The problem in Corinth is that there are some, obviously not all, this would be a huge problem, but there are some in that church who didn't believe in resurrection, who didn't believe that in the end, on the last day, believers would be raised from the dead. They did not believe in the bodily resurrection of believers. And this is not a surprise. This is not a surprise, knowing that these people were Greek, that they were born in Greece, they were raised Greek, they lived in Greece. Ancient Greeks had absolutely no such concept of a dead body rising from the dead. That does not happen. We're scientists, okay? These things do not happen. Jewish people believed in resurrection, okay? Because the Old Testament spoke about resurrection. If you go to Isaiah 26, you don't have to turn there right now. In Isaiah 26, it speaks of your dead shall rise. And that's not speaking in some kind of metaphorical spiritual sense, because then it says the corpses, the dead bodies that were in the dust shall rise. So it's speaking of literal people who have died coming back to life. In Daniel chapter 12, at the end of the book, again, he says, those who are sleeping in the dust of the earth shall awake. So the Old Testament speaks of resurrection. And it was a common, normal, orthodox belief amongst the Jews. If you remember in John chapter 11, when Lazarus had died, and Jesus waits 4 days, he gets there very late, Mary and Martha come, they're distraught because their brother has died, and they say, Jesus, if you were here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And they answer him, yeah, I know that on the day of resurrection he will rise again. Yeah, I know that. What Jesus meant is I'm going to raise him today. But they thought that he just meant, well, one day, at the end of the age, your brother will rise again. They're like, yeah, we know. It was a standard Orthodox Jewish belief that at the end of the age, the dead shall rise. Okay. Not so with Greeks. Paul is writing to Corinthians. Not so with Greeks. There was no such concept amongst Greeks. Greeks believed death is a one-way street. There is no way back from death. There is no answer to death. Once you die, that's it. It's not that they didn't believe in the afterlife. They believed in spirits and ghosts and the underworld and Hades and all these things. But there is absolutely no resurrection from the dead. Dead people don't come back. There's this reminder of this myth, this story. It's an ancient Greek myth of Orpheus. He marries his beautiful, beloved Evridike, was her name. And they're so much in love, but sadly and tragically, she dies very soon after they get married. And so she goes down into the underworld, and he is so distraught that he has to find a way to go get her back. And he cuts a deal with some god, and he is able to go down into the underworld. And he speaks to the god of the underworld, and they make a deal again. It's a whole big story. And the god of the underworld says to him, you can take her back, as long as under one condition. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to start walking back to the light, and she will follow on behind you. But if at any point you turn around and look at her, she'll disappear and she'll be gone forever. So you have to be patient until you get back. And he said, that's fine. And so he started walking up, and he's walking up, and he's going back to the light. And he's a few meters away, but he's getting nervous because this whole time he couldn't hear her. He couldn't hear her footsteps because she's a spirit. Okay? So she's just floating behind him. She's there, but she's floating behind him. And he's nervous to get out without her. And so he turns around, and she's gone. And that's not true, obviously. It's a myth. It's not a real story. But it is a sad, old Greek myth which illustrates the fact that even if you hope for it, even if it would be fascinating to imagine it, even if we would like it, I'm sorry, but dead people do not come back from the dead. Okay? That's it. It just doesn't happen. And so this is what the Corinthians grew up in. This is what the Corinthians lived in. And so it's no surprise to find that some of them, we're told in verse 12, are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. One of the reasons I was looking forward to preaching through this chapter, and why we're going to take quite a while to get through it, is that, sadly, I find that there are many Christians today who rarely think of our resurrection, and I've even met people who don't even know anything about the concept. I was speaking to a young lady not too long ago who has, evangelical, who has been going to church over 20 years, practically her whole life, and I, in passing, mentioned our resurrection, and she was shocked and amazed in a good way. She liked the idea, but she'd never heard of it. And I was like, you've been in church for 20, well, I didn't say that, but I'm thinking, you've been in church for 20 years and you didn't know that we're going to be raised from the dead? Most Christians today, when we think of the afterlife, when we think we're going to, when we say we're going to die one day, their hope is, when I die, I'll go to heaven. How often do you hear that? All the time, every day. When I die, I'll go to heaven. Do you know that heaven is, how can I put this? A waiting area. Now, it's a glorious waiting area where you're with Jesus. So I'm not denying that in any way, shape, or form, all right? But you go to heaven to await your ultimate redemption, your ultimate hope, which is being reunited with your body in a glorious resurrected body. That is our ultimate hope. It's not about, well, we die and we go to heaven. It's about dying and then one day we will be raised from the dead. The Christian hope is not to just leave this body, leave this earth, let it burn, and we'll just go and spend eternity in some kind of disembodied fashion. No, the Christian hope is resurrection in a glorious resurrected body on a renewed earth. Jesus did not, when he came to save us, he didn't just become a spirit to save our spirit, save our soul. He took on a human body to save both body and soul. And when we trust in Christ, our souls are saved, but right now as we speak, even if we are saved right now, and our souls are saved and being renewed, our bodies are still dying. Our bodies haven't been saved yet, and we are awaiting the resurrection of our bodies. Think about this. Here's a question for you. How many verses in the Bible talk about us dying and going to heaven? You would think that it's all over the place. Give me one. Not just a random one that talks about heaven in passing. Of course, there's tons of passages that talk about it. I'm talking about our hope is to die and go to heaven. I thought about one. The thief on the cross. He's dying. And Jesus says to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Okay, you're going to die today, but you're going to be in paradise with me. That's great. That's wonderful. We believe that. But there's not that many other verses. I'm sure you can find a couple here or there, but there's not that many. If you think about it, go home and think about it. But there's tons of stuff about our resurrection all over the place. But for some reason, we ignore these things. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, John, Revelation. It's all over the place. But for some reason, I don't hear believers say, "Oh, we're going to die, but we're going to be raised again." We hear, "We're going to die and go to heaven." Okay, that's wonderful, but that's not complete. There's more than that. Our bodies were not created. God didn't create our bodies so they could just be disposed of. Oh, we don't need them. No, He created us body and soul together, and He will redeem body and soul together. So this is what this chapter is about. It's very important, chapter 15, because it's the most comprehensive teaching about our resurrection. Now, here's what Paul is going to be doing in this chapter. He's going to start off the chapter by reminding them of the gospel. Okay? The gospel is the good news that Jesus died for our sins. We read that in verse 3. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day. Why does He start by reminding them of the gospel? Because He wants to make sure that we understand some of the fundamental elements of the gospel. And the fundamental elements of the gospel are Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? That's very important. Jesus' resurrection is at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of the Christian faith. If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you're not a Christian. Okay? This is basic Christianity. Okay? And what Paul wants to do in the beginning of the chapter is he wants to establish the fact that Jesus rose from the dead first. That's what he wants to deal with. Jesus rose from the dead, no question. And then from there he's going to go by saying, since Jesus rose from the dead, all those who are in Him, all those who are joined to Him in faith, will also be raised from the dead. That's where he's going. Okay? That's the flow of thought in the chapter. I want to remind you of the gospel. Why the gospel? Because the gospel is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Why are you talking about Jesus' resurrection? Because if you are in Christ, then as He was raised, then you will also be raised. That's the flow that we're going to be looking at as we go through this chapter. So, we're just going to look at the first two verses really quick, and then we'll continue on over the next few weeks. Just to get started, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you." Let me remind you of the gospel which I preach to you. As a quick side note, in the Greek, the word gospel and the word preach, the gospel that I preach to you, the same word. Well, one is a verb and one is a noun, but it's the same verb. Evangelio. I'm reminding you of the Evangelio, which evangelisami. I'm reminding you of the gospel, which I gospeled to you. Okay? Nico, why does he have to remind us of the gospel? Don't we know the gospel? Well, it's because the gospel is about Jesus' resurrection. That's where he's going to go with this. That's the heart of Christianity. If you get the gospel wrong, the rest of the stuff doesn't really matter. You can get a lot of stuff right. If you get the gospel wrong, you've missed the whole point. And what Paul is afraid of, this is his concern as he starts this chapter. What Paul is concerned and worried is that the Corinthians are a bit confused, or very confused, about resurrection and what's going on. So Paul is saying, well, let's go back to basics. Let's just start at the beginning. We don't have to get confused yet. Let's start at the beginning, and let's just talk about the gospel for a second. Let's talk about the facts of the gospel, which we will look at next week in verses 3 and 4, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Keep that in mind. No resurrection, no gospel. You can't. This is important. The gospel is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no gospel. There's no good news. Okay? Look at verse 17 for a second. Look at verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Okay? Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. If Jesus has not risen, your faith is pointless. It's futile. It's in vain. You're trusting in a dead man. You're not trusting in the risen Lord who's sitting on his throne right now. You're trusting in a person who's rotting away somewhere. You're entrusting your soul to a God who couldn't even save his own son. If Jesus is not risen, there is no salvation. There is no gospel. There is no Christianity if Jesus is not risen. Okay? And so Paul is like, let's go back and let's talk about the gospel, because the gospel is all about Jesus' resurrection. And we need to establish the resurrection. He says, I want to declare to you the gospel that I gospeled to you, which, he says, verse 1 in the middle, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. Okay, he says, I came to Corinth a few years ago and I gospeled the gospel to you, and you received it, and you stand in it. You realize the importance of the gospel, and this is the gospel through which you are saved. And then he says, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is the gospel by which you are saved, unless you believed in vain. There are those who take verses like this and they say, well, that means that a believer can lose his salvation. I strongly deny that. I find that notion to be preposterous. Jesus said those who have believed in him have passed from death unto life. He's talking about everlasting life. He's talking about eternal life. By definition, everlasting life does not end. Okay? By definition, everlasting life does not end. If it could end, then it's not everlasting. If someone said, well, I used to have everlasting life, but I don't have it anymore, well, then it wasn't everlasting, was it? Okay? No, salvation is the work of God, and God finishes what he starts. What's going on here, he's not saying, well, you believed it, but if you stop believing it, you'll lose it. That's not what he is saying. What Paul is talking about here is the fact that there are people who embrace a false gospel. There are people who say, I'm a Christian, but then they don't believe the fundamental elements of Christianity. And there are some people here, Paul is worried, that there are some Corinthians here who say, well, we're Christians, we believe the gospel, but they don't believe in resurrection? This is a problem. Because if you don't believe in resurrection, how does this work with the gospel? Look at verse 13 here for a second. Look at verse 13. He says to them, if there is no resurrection of the dead, because that's what they were saying, there's no resurrection of the dead, dead people don't rise. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Paul is saying, I'm worried about the Corinthians. Some of them. I think you're going down a dangerous path by saying that there's no such thing as dead people rising. Because wasn't Jesus a human being? Well, Paul, come on. I mean, Jesus was special. Well, of course he was special. We're not saying he wasn't special, but wasn't Jesus a human being? Well, Paul, I mean, Jesus was also God. Of course he was God. I'm not denying that he was God. But wasn't Jesus a human being? Yes. And if you're saying that by definition, dead people do not rise, it's axiomatic, dead people do not rise, then that would automatically mean that Jesus didn't rise, because he was a man. So you've got to be very careful if you're saying that there's no such thing as resurrection. Because if you're saying that there's no such thing as a resurrection, what about Jesus' resurrection? And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there is no gospel, there is no salvation, and your faith is pointless. Oh, we believe in Jesus, but we're not sure about the resurrection point. Your faith is pointless then. It's in vain. So we've got to be very careful in understanding the gospel and resurrection. Paul is saying, those of you who are saying that there is no resurrection, I don't think you have thought this through. I don't think you've thought about the implications of what it means to say, oh, dead people don't rise. So, to close, Paul is going to spend 58 verses, a long time, where he is slowly, carefully, systematically, and that's why we're going to go through this slowly, he's going to slowly and carefully explain to us why we're going to be raised from the dead, how we're going to be raised from the dead, when we're going to be raised from the dead, what kind of bodies we're going to have when we're raised from the dead, and why resurrection as a whole is vital to the Christian life as a whole. So I'm very excited about that. Come back again next week and we'll get into it more. Let's pray.